Welcome to the Equipping the Saints podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. Here is this week's teaching.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Reformed Online Fellowship. This is Pastor Bernard here. Super excited to have you a part of our service this morning. And so we are starting this wonderful journey through the book of Romans. That's right, the book of Romans. The book of Romans is full of theology. It's full of promises, and it gives us a true image of who God really is through this book written by Paul. He was writing this from the church of when he was in prison in Corinth on his third missionary journey. When Paul wrote the book of Romans, he had a Christian preacher. He has been a Christian preacher for 20 plus years on his way to Jerusalem. He had 3 months in Corinth without any pressing duties. He perhaps thought it would be a good time to write ahead to the Christians that were in Rome. And a church he planned on visiting after the trip to Jerusalem. This was a plan that he had in his head, and he didn't have anything else to do. So ultimately what he did is he sat down and wrote this wonderful, wonderful letter to the church there in Rome. The Romans had, when we talk about the Romans at this time, the Romans had plenty of pressing issues, like the same type of issues that we deal with the church today. And this whole letter of Romans was a plan of redemption. If you have a passion for theology as I do, the book of Romans is full of theological principles that we can truly take from every single verse. So we are going to go through this verse by verse, sometimes word by true word, so we can really see what the letter is telling us, right? And so we're going to take our time through this. This whole book of Romans could possibly take us almost 6 months to a year, just depending on how long we can truly go through this and take and dissect each single word, right? So verse one, and I'll be reading out of the Legacy Standard Version, which is the NASB Revised. Verse one reads a greeting. Paul is ultimately letting them know who he is, and they already know who he is, but he likes to give a greeting at the beginning of his letters. It reads in the LSB, Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. In some of other scriptures and other versions, you might read bondservant, but it ultimately means the same thing. I personally love the reading here in the LSB where it says slave. And because it's got a true meaning, you can understand where he's coming from when you read slave. And it's ultimately, when we talk about slavery, when he talks about that, he's talking about a slave to Jesus Christ. He doesn't talk about any type of other negative slavery. He's talking about a slave ultimately to Jesus Christ, the sovereignty that God, he admits that he is a slave to the king. Here he gives distinct meaning that he is a slave to the one and only true king. When we define a slave, if we go back and define a slave to what it says a person who is forced to work and to obey. How distinct is that? A person that is forced to obey, a person that is forced to obey the king, obeying the Lord and listening to our calling is what the Lord wants for us. And Paul was distinctively stating this just in the first verse of this book in the book of Romans. He's distinctively saying that he is a slave to Jesus Christ and to him truly alone. and the slave is not a bad thing. I don't want us to ever perceive this scripture as it being a bad thing. Being a slave to the Lord is a calling to the Lord, is a true divine calling, and he's very distinct at what his calling is, and that's why he's saying this to the Romans, that this is coming from a slave to Jesus Christ, knowing that this is Paul, knowing that this wasn't just any common letter, this was truly him. See, a slave in the Greek is called doulos. It means complete and utter devotion. You imagine complete and utter devotion. That's what he's stating here. He's stating that it's complete devotion to the Lord, not a devotion to the worldly things, not a devotion to things that are mistakenly of Christian, but slave to the Lord, a complete and utter devotion. Like, how hard is it for us to give complete and utter devotion? But he's stating there that he is a slave to the Lord, that he is devoted to him, devoted to nothing else but him. He's letting the Romans know that he is coming with a heart of devotion to the Lord. The scriptures first say that he's a slave, and then Paul goes on to say that he's called as a disciple, as an apostle. A disciple is a teacher, a teacher of Christ to men and women. And I want us to understand too, when we're reading the scripture, understand that he's saying first a slave, second an apostle. So first, it's devotion. It's the true devotion to Christ. Second, it's an apostle. Second, it's a missionary. Second, it's one that completely take the word across all nations, as stated in Matthew. See, Paul was sent on a mission, and that's what he was doing here. He's even while he's writing this, he's sent on a mission. Even as he's speaking to the people in Rome, he was sent on a mission. See, the symbolism here that Paul is writing throughout this entire book, throughout the entire book of Romans, is important for us to understand. The entire book has many pieces of symbolism, has many pieces of theology, but it all points towards one. It all points towards Christ. And I want us to understand that while we read and we read each verse and we read some key words, we read word from word what it's truly saying is that there is symbolism there. That at first it's a calling. First, it's truly that he is a slave, that he yearns to serve the Lord, that he yearns to do so. Second, it's a missionary. He's a missionary of the word. Second, that is his primary goal. The final part of this verse, in verse 1, pieces it all together. So when we read the final part of this, it says, having been set apart for the gospel of God, having been set apart for the good news. The idea of being an apostle is that you are a special ambassador, is a messenger. Paul's message is the gospel, the good news of God. The gospel makes you set apart. The gospel separates you. It makes you different from the world. Okay? This corrupt and evil world, he is stating the separation of the two. The one who is separated is obviously a non-believer. If you are not of the word, you do not know of the word, you are separated from it. At this time, many believe that he's writing about the Pharisees, okay? The Pharisees were separated. They were separated of it. And when you are a part of the word, you are part of the elect. If you are separated from the word, you are the non-elect. But if you are a part of the word, you are part of the elect. And know that Paul at this time too, Paul at one point was a non-believer. Paul was not regenerated. See, when we're regenerated, we're made with a new heart. We're taking the heart of flesh away, and we're made with a new heart of the Holy Spirit. Until he was regenerated as a true believer, he was a non-believer. But then it takes his pure word that can change a non-regenerated heart into a regenerated heart. Moving on to verse 2, it says, which he promised beforehand. He promised beforehand. I want us to know that word, beforehand, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Holy Scriptures are so important part of this sentence here. See, all the prophets that was written by the Holy Spirit promised his redemption, just as this book of Romans promises his redemption. He is writing that before he wrote this, that the prophets wrote with the Spirit, right? They wrote of these promises. I also want to point out that at the beginning of Romans, these are all being separated by commas. And you might say, well, why is that in particular? Why does that matter? Well, he never intended Romans to think as it was something of a new thought. So everything was separated by commas because he wanted us to focus on truly the entire letter and what is being said. So the commas separating these was never a separation of thought. It was the same thought that Paul had writing all throughout. Understand that this, that the prophets knew this. The prophets before Paul knew exactly what he was writing. He knew exactly what was being meant to be said. It wasn't something new that Paul was written. It wasn't something new that the church have never heard before. This was something that was brought up before. This was something that it was something to re-encourage the people in Rome to understand what they're being taught, to understand who it is all about, which it all points to Jesus Christ. This is all foreknown before this, and the Spirit was speaking clearly through Paul throughout this entire letter. The Spirit is speaking clear to him, to the Romans, that they needed to hear this. This was something that the people of Rome needed to understand. And it's the same thing that we are meant to hear, meant to understand. The Holy Scriptures are always meant to be heard. It's always meant to be talked about. It's always meant to be proclaimed all throughout the nations. It wasn't something that Paul just decided to do one day. It wasn't something that he got together and said, you know, I need to do this just because I have nothing else to do. I want to write to the Church of Rome because they've been messing up left and right. No, this was something that was brought upon the Spirit. It was all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it was nothing like any judgment that was cast upon him to write this. It was all meant by the Holy Spirit to be written. So therefore, it was written. Paul was never the type to hold back on his writings. All of it was lined up with Holy Spirit, with God in mind throughout the whole thing. And that's what makes Paul so special with writing more than 70% of the New Testament, is that his writings were all inspired and that his writings were important. And they're an important part of the New Testament. They're an important part of what the Bible says. They're an important part of the Holy Scriptures. And they were, none were written just to be written. I don't want us to ever think that the Bible was just written just out of a whim, that it was written just to do so. We move on to verse 3 today, and we're going to stop after verse 3. This whole chapter 1 of Romans is made up of 32 verses. So we're going to go part by part, really dissecting these scriptures here. Verse 3 gives us the entire meaning of the letter, the entire meaning of why he is writing, the entire meaning of what's important. You know, the whole focus and the whole centerpiece of the book of Romans to Rome was all centered on one person, and it was all centered concerning his son, the scriptures say, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. When he's speaking of his son, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the centerpiece of the entire world, the centerpiece of the gospel. The center of Christianity is not a teaching or a moral system. It is a person. It is Jesus Christ. Just as the sun likes to orbit around the planets. See, when we think of a solar system, always the sun is always in the center. And the planets like to go around the sun. They like to circle the entire sun, right? Christianity focuses on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the centerpiece, and everything goes around him. Just as our lives should be centered around Jesus Christ, the true meaning of the gospel, the true meaning of what this letter is inspired about. Paul is focusing this entire letter on Jesus Christ. He is focusing an entire letter on the gospel. He wants the people of Rome to see this. And if he wanted them to see this, then he pointed it out at the beginning of the letter. He said, this is why this is written. This is where I come from. This is why the whole thing happened in the first place. He wants the people of Rome to see this. He wants them to know it is not about him. It is not about Paul. It is not about you. It is not about us. It is not about the people in Corinth. It is not about the people in Rome. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus Christ and the good news. And this is what he centered the entire thing on. The entire thing was all about Jesus Christ. And nothing else, nothing more, nothing less, is all Christ. And that's what our lives should be, is centered on Jesus Christ. Centered on him in our lives, centered on him in this word. This word is what's centered upon him from the beginning of time. Verse 3 continues to say, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Understand, he was born of the flesh, but he was born of God, that he was God. And it takes that one true God to die and to rise again. That's what we celebrate Easter for. It's the resurrection. Is the true resurrection of Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what we see. That's what we should know inside the scriptures. We know that the scriptures tell us this. And we take the scriptures for what it is. We don't add to it, or we don't take anything from it. Understand this, the saints, as if we don't understand that it's about Jesus Christ, and we don't understand the gospel, we don't understand the good news, we don't understand anything. It's all centered upon him. Paul makes it centered on Jesus Christ at the beginning of the letter. He makes it centered on him as Lord. And that's where he is coming from. So he is coming from the Holy Spirit, which is centered upon Jesus Christ. And we learn more here in chapter 1 of the things that Rome has done. But we see that it all points back to Jesus Christ. It all points back to him and to who he is. So if you're watching this or hearing this today, understand that your life should be focused on Jesus Christ. And your life should exalt him every day with a loud praise. Exalt him as the one and true Lord, the one and true Savior that saved you from the depths into who you are today. It's the one true Lord, Jesus Christ. So as we continue this journey in Romans, and it's going to take us some time, I encourage you to join us and to share and to subscribe to this, just so you can see this every single week, so that you can be encouraged of the word, of what the word says. Join us this Wednesday night. We're going to dive into a teaching with the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. we're going to discuss that starting from the beginning, going all the way through. We're using another teaching from another church that they graciously allowed us to use as we go through this teaching. Take notes. I recommend you to take notes inside your Bible. I recommend you to get a London Baptist Confession of Faith. You can get them for free. If you need one, let us know. We can mail you one. Just encourage you to learn His Word. Learn that we are connected to a confession of faith that is all about His Word. That is His true divine Word. That it doesn't fall upon nothing else. That nothing else truly matters but His Word. If you need a Bible, let us know. We can also mail you a Bible. We'd be encouraged to do so. So before we leave today, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, today we come to You with open arms of Your Word. Father, allow us to make Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of our lives. Your only God's Son. Allow us to focus more on Him as Paul focused at the beginning of this letter, all a part of Him, that the entire people in Rome were focused and come on this knowledge from Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news, that we should exalt Him every single day, that we should come with Him with our needs to give us comfort. Father, we know we're not worthy of this comfort. We know we're not worthy of this love, but we are thankful for Your love. We are thankful that we are called for Your love from the beginning of time. Father, we're thankful for this confession that we follow. We're thankful for this word that we follow every single day, that we are in need of a Savior, that the only Savior that was here, that is here, is the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. In order to focus to be more like Him every single day of our lives. Father, as we dive into this journey of Romans, allow us to open up our eyes and open up our ears and our hearts to see this word for what it is, to see it in its beautiful nature, to see it so divine as You allow us to see it. And we ask all of these, Jesus Christ, holy name. Amen. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week and tune in Wednesday as we dive into this confession of faith and see where it takes us. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to our podcast and listen to the weekly teaching.